box inside of the cage and saw that it was a simple lever. To go down, you pushed the lever down. To go up, you pulled it up. Mildred unclipped two grenades from the combat harness, an incendiary and a fragmentation. She hoped the combination of shock, heat, and about 3,000 ball bearings spraying out at 6,000 meters per second would accomplish her task. Leaning as far out over the railing as she dared, Mildred held both grenades in her right hand. She armed them by pulling away the pin levers. She opened her fingers, letting both of the devices fall away toward the rows of generators 50 feet below. Then she bounded for the elevator. She slammed the gate shut and grabbed the lever. The liftcage shook violently. Water, chunks of concrete, and metal flew upward in a fiery column, battering the underside of the catwalks. Mildred got a blurred image of a layer of fire clinging to the handrails and grillwork. Blinding clouds of white vapor spewed up from below, billowing and rolling like heavy fog. It doused the flames and coated all of the walkways with a patina of frost. Mildred inhaled just a bit of the supercooled air. The soft, wet tissues of her throat were instantly afire with agony. She slammed the cage lever as far as it would go in the up position, and the elevator shot upward. It rose past level after level. Once, she hazarded a look over the gate and saw nothing but an expanse of white clouds, as though she were rocketing high in the air, far above the earth. Quickly, she drew her revolver.
Millie, old girl, I have no idea where we're going, but we're on our way.
Mildred stepped into a small alcove, fronting a tunnel. A group of men emerged. They wore white coveralls and were frantically donning breathing masks. They stumbled to unsteady, fearful stops when they saw Mildred and her gun.
Don't move!
The man in the lead wore a badge identifying him as Mike.
Please, we've got to get down to the station!
Mildred snatched the badge from his coverall pocket.
First things first, Mike! Show me the nearest computer tie-in!
Mike pushed his way through his companions, moving toward the rear of the tunnel.
The rest of you can go about your business.
They all made a concerted rush for the lift cage. Mildred followed Mike. He stopped in front of a wall panel.
Here!
Complex display!
The wall panel flashed with light, and a diagram of the complex appeared.
Where are we, Mike?
Mike pointed to a throbbing green dot.
Locate Commander.
Another dot began to throb. Counting the levels, Mildred saw she was far below Ryan's location.
Where's the nearest lift, Mike?
Out the doors 100 feet to your right.
Good boy. You can go now.
Mike bustled away, and Mildred went toward the doors at the end of the tunnel. She called Ryan on the transceiver.
Ryan, do you read me? I'm on my way.
Good. JB and the rest should be here soon.
Are you sure?
Actually, no. Watch your back.
You watch yours.
When Ryan had heard the first alarms, he had picked up the Walther MPL and the 6-hour P226 and headed up in the elevator to the control room. Men ran to and fro, back and forth, going from computer terminal to readout station to dial in button-studded consoles.
Coolant core breach! We've lost two generators!
Why aren't the backup guns gone?
Reserve processors...
God damn!
Where's the commander?
The circulation system failure!
Rise to critical levels in 5 hours!
Ryan walked around the running, panic-stricken men, heading toward the gateway chamber. He almost reached it with no one noticing him. A man bending over a flickering monitor screen glanced up. One of his hands fumbled at his waist and came up gripping a long-nosed automatic made of blued steel. Ryan brought up his 6-hour. Everyone spun in Ryan's direction. Ryan swung the Walther toward a group of 3 men. The men in the control room went berserk, running madly for the exit. Ryan shot over their heads, taking out the alarm in the room. A short, stumpy-legged man bolted around a corner, trying to run past Ryan. Ryan reached out and grabbed the man's necktie, swinging him around in a wide arc and into a console. Ryan stepped in close, ramming the muzzle of the Sig Sauer under his fleshy chin. His ID badge proclaimed him to be Howard.
Are there beetles in the cave, Howard?
Only one. Programmed for surveillance and defense.
Can you override the program from this console?
Why?
Answer me!
Yes! There are manual overrides here.
Hauling the man away from the console, Ryan turned him around to face it.
Show me.
All right! The beetle is controlled from here now.
A small video screen came to life in the center of the panel, and Ryan could see the interior of the cave, bathed in infrared light. Suddenly, a figure entered into the light.
Son of a bitch!
JB's face stared at Ryan from the small screen in the center of the panel. Behind him, Ryan could make out Christy, and his head went light with relief.
Can I speak through the beetle from here?
Howard's finger touched a square grid.
Talk into that microphone. The communication channel is open.
JB, Christy, can you hear me?
On the screen, JB and Christy's expressions went blank, then lit up with relief.
Dark night. Ryan, is that you?
Yeah. Is everyone with you? Jack and Doc?
Yes, lover. Where are you?
In the anthill. Have you found the gateway in the cave?
No. The place is as black as a swampy hind end.
Howard, where's the gateway in there?
Only a few hundred yards ahead. You can guide them to it with the beetle.
Get it ready to do that, Howard.
Yes, sir.
We copy that, Ryan. I think Hellstrom's on our heels, though.
Forget him.
Where is Mildred? Is she with you?
Not yet.
What do you mean?
We'll talk about it when you get here. Follow the beetle to the gateway chamber, get inside, and I'll transport you all here.
Then what?
Then we'll plan our next field trip. Now, Howard.
JB, Christy, Doc, and Jack followed the beetle to the Matrans unit. It was an exact double of the huge one in the control room.
Ryan, there's no controls here.
They're up here. Aren't they, Howard?
Yes.
When the companions were inside, with the armaglass portal secured, Howard keyed in the transport sequence. Ryan watched the screen through the beetle's electronic eye as tendrils of white mist crept up around the figures inside the chamber. A very bright light began to glow behind the glass.
There! Are you done with me now?
Ryan ignored Howard, going around the console and grabbing the handle of the gateway chamber. Matran's jumps usually had a debilitating effect, making the jumpers weak and often sick for a while. Ryan hoped that this short jump wouldn't incapacitate his friends. He might need their firepower. Jack, Christy, Doc, and JB struggled to rise. They looked a bit dizzy, a little disoriented, but not faint or sluggish. Ryan helped Christy to her feet, and she held him in a crushing embrace.
Good to see you, lover.
JB struggled to his feet, helping Doc up. He grinned, but there was worry in his eyes. As was his habit, he had taken off his spectacles before the jump.
Where the hell's Millie?
Right here, John.
Mildred came through the doorway and walked, with some discomfort, into the chamber. She grabbed JB's face with both hands. Mildred's face was caked with dried blood, and she was covered by what looked like a gray dust. The plaits of her hair were snarled in a wild Medusa-like tangle. She met Ryan's glance, looking him up and down.
Wow, Ryan, you look like shit.
Jack, feeling a little left out of the reunion, moved to the chamber door, peering around it at the control room beyond.
So what's the plan? Take over the place, give up, or what?
I hope it's a what. I do not find the chilly climb congenial.
I want to get the fuck out of this frozen nightmare. We can make a direct jump back to that installation in New Mexico from here. Just have to punch a key with that strange triangle symbol.
What'll keep the freezies here from following us?
I don't know. Luck?
Ryan, we got company.
Fire blast.
A few of the anthill staff, led by Howard, had armed themselves and were moving toward the gateway. JB dug around in his sack, producing a small, plastic-shelled sphere.
Here's a piece of luck, Ryan. A Mesar MU-5G fragger grin with a kill radius of about 30 feet. We're talking about a handful of hell here. More than that, it has a time pencil fuse.
Great.
Ryan took it from JB's hands.
I'll ask you later where you picked it up. The rest of you cover me and get ready to jump.
Ryan raised the Walther and made a run for the console.
There he is!
Skidding to a stop at the console, Ryan ducked low as he worked with the grin, turning the neural timing screw. He placed the sphere on the floor next to the hard plastic support pedestal, then raised his head up to punch in the destination. As he did, his eyes caught the beetle's video screen. he saw Lars Hellstrom